Hello there, and welcome to another edition of the Bernie Miklas Show here on my YouTube channel. Thank you all for your support and all your comments and for hitting the like and subscribing. Get the word out to some of your partners, some of your comrades. See if they'll subscribe as well. Appreciate you. Well, I'm wearing, I haven't had this one on for a while, this cap, in case you missed it when I explained it when I got the cap. This is the baseball team. It's a vintage version of a baseball cap worn by a team in the Dominican Republic, Escogido. And I ordered this hat in honor of Albert Pujols, who is managing Escogido this winter in the Dominican League. Yadier Molina is managing a team there as well. So it makes for an interesting situation. And yesterday at scoopsnetwork.com, I offered an update about how their teams are doing. But there was new information that I saw this morning. So I want to update it. And by the way, I don't normally double dip. I try really hard to avoid that. You know, my videos are separate from what I write, although there's obviously going to be some crossover because we're talking about the Cardinals and there's always things to say about this or that and this or that. And there's no harm, no foul in actually, you know, putting it on all of my platforms. But I try to do a good job of keeping it separate and circling back and maybe doing some writing later or doing the video later if I've done the writing on a topic. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, you probably don't really care about how the sausage is made, but I just wanted to tell you that. And but the update and give a hat tip to two people, Mark Powell from Fansided, but also more importantly, perhaps Mike Rodriguez, who's a former analyst with Chicago Cubs Spanish broadcast crew, and he covers baseball in the DR. And he put out a tweet on X about Pujols sort of being under fire, you know, catching a lot of heat from fans of Escogido because they're not doing very well. And I don't mean to laugh at that because I want Albert Pujols to win every game he manages. Same with Yadier Molina. But it's amazing how – and it's very, very passionate in the DR when it comes to baseball. So fans of that team, all the buildup for Pujols, they're probably expecting more. I have no way to judge the talent that he's working with, but Mike Rodriguez, who does know, he used the phrase, and I'll get to this in a minute, you know, he indicated that actually Escogido has a lot of talent. So maybe they're underachieving. So what do you mean by underachieving? What do I mean by that? Well, they got off to a really good start, but Escogido has lost 15 of the past 21 games. They've gone from first place, and now they're in a virtual tie for third with Molina's team. But if you go by winning percentage, Pujols, Escogido, De Leones are in fourth place in a six-team league. But the thing that about it is that they've, again, they're 6-15 in the last 21 games. And so they're 21-20 overall. And Yadi's team, Aguilas, I'm saying that wrong. I'm such an idiot. Whatever. Forgive me. You can make fun of me. That's fine too. They're 19-18. I wish I knew how to speak Spanish. And yes, I'm being sincere about that. So Mike Rodriguez, reporter broadcaster down in the Dominican Republic covering the Winter League. This is what he wrote. This is what he offered on X. And then Mark Powell, you know, put it on Fansided. I saw it there and I thought, well, I can freshen up what I put out there yesterday about those two guys managing and how they're doing. So here we are. Mike Rodriguez wrote, and I quote, "What I feared has come to pass. The lack of respect from some fans towards our future Hall of Famer, Albert Pujols. This great human being is being severely criticized and many are calling for the manager's dismissal." Okay, 41 games. Quote from, again, Mike Rodriguez, "This team is going through a critical moment, having lost 15 of its last 21 games. From being in first place, it now finds itself tied in third place, one step away from falling to fourth place." Technically, they are. And if it weren't for that magnificent start to the season, they would be much further away from that position today, despite the formidable talent they have on their squad. So, welcome to managing Albert Pujols, right? He ought to call Holly Marmol. Yeah, they could commiserate. It's not an easy gig, especially if the fans turn on you and whether it's justified or not. I feel like every time I talk about Marmol here on the Bernie Miklas show, the Marmol here on the Bernie Miklas show, like I'm going to get like slapped around one way or the other. If I say he runs the boy, he did a great job at the bullpen last season. The Cardinals overachieved. They won 83 games. You know, it looked like they were going to have a losing season. They didn't. Even if I just offer like what I think is like a fair assessment, it's like, how can you say that? You're a shill, Miklas. You know. And then, of course, you know, when I rip Marmol, which has happened a lot, that's forgotten. As soon as I say like one semi nice or even fair thing about him, I don't mind. You can see I'm laughing. It's all part of the game, right? So, but I wanted to talk about this because one of the things FanSided did, Mark Powell did in his piece, was he was saying, well, if Cardinals fans are waiting and hoping for Albert Pujols to be their next manager, you know, don't get your hopes up, because Mark is basically intimating that it has not gone well for Pujols down in the DR. And where I would differ with Mark is that, listen, just because a guy who's never managed anywhere or anything before, he's down in the DR, and, you know, it was a big deal when he came. Expectations are you know, way up. And just because they're having a difficult time, this does not disqualify Albert Pujols for managing the Cardinals or any team. You know, and I know we live in the hot take world. I get it. You know, we got to overreact to everything. I get it. I'm guilty of it at times. But this, you know, Albert Pujols' team struggling in down in the Dominican Winter League, it's a learning experience. That's why he took the job. It's absolutely why he took the job, to get experience. So I would just suggest we kind of like calm down before we collectively issue a verdict on Albert Pujols' ability as a manager based on 41 games in the Dominican Winter League, where players are coming and going and everything else. So I got that out of my system. However, this leads us to another discussion about Holly Marmol. And here I go again, because this is tied into the fact that, you know, Molina's team's doing pretty good. Albert's team, based on expectations, doing pretty bad. I don't think it's going to influence anything the Cardinals are thinking. But it invites another conversation about Holly Marmol's future. And it gives us sort of a jumping off point in this, because there's some things I had wanted to say about 2025 with regards to Marmol. Bernie, stop. Okay. I'm just having fun. Can I amuse myself? Thank you. Thank you for your patience. Marmol's contract has 2 years to go. It doesn't expire until after the 2026 season. That turned out to be John Mozeliak's parting gift to you all. And yes, I'm kidding, so don't go off on the old feller here, okay? But I do have reasons to believe Marmol's got a better chance of keeping his job than many people realize, and I say that with sincerity. I wouldn't come on here and say it unless I really felt it and believed it, and part of that comes from some conversations I've had. Sure, a lot depends what happens with the 2025 Cardinals on the field. You know, though it's been overstated, the Cardinals will be younger in 2025, and I actually think in some ways that means more pressure for Marmol. And let me explain that if I can. While the Cardinals overachieved 83 wins last season because of the bullpen primarily, and you know, some few guys had really good years, whatever, Marmol has a really good bond with the Cardinals' young players. He does. And for some reason, I know I'll get pushback on that, but You know, I'm pretty comfortable in saying he's got a good bond with their young players. And this is one way that Ali Marmol's relative youth is a plus, because he should be able, in theory, to get more out of these young players in 2025. And the Redbirds also figure to have a new inner dynamic next season, which can, in my opinion, given the rather benign leadership skills of Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, they need a fresh voice or two in that clubhouse. Not people that are coming from the outside, but I mean people that already were in the clubhouse. It's just that now there's a void in the leadership realm, and they can step up and fill that void. And I'm going to talk about briefly two guys who are absolutely enthusiastic about that possibility. But if Marmol's going to have a good bond with the young team, right, and they're going to have new leaders that probably going to be a lot more interactive, proactive is what I meant to say, with a younger team in general. Like, in other words, it'll be a generational match. You know, rather than like, oh, we'll be careful. Don't bother Goldie. You know, Arenado's in a mood. You know, hey, just letting y'all know, just keep your distance. You know, that kind of thing. And I think a change in leadership in terms of players can be a positive thing. Not saying it will be. We'll find out. We'll find about a lot of things in 2025. So anyway. And I'm mostly talking about the position player side here, right? The pitching side has got, you know, Sonny Gray, you know, Miles Michaelis. I shouldn't have said that, but Sonny Gray, you know, they've got some veteran relievers. They're in better condition over there. But I think position players need to step up, because this is where so much is at stake as far as which way some of these young Cardinals hitters, position players, will go in 2025. They're going to get better. They're going to stay the same. They're going to get worse. I mean, there's a wide range of possibilities. So anyway, there will be new team leaders stepping up, presuming that Arenado will in fact be traded. No reason to believe he won't be. And again, I'm talking about the position player side. So Wilson Contreras definitely has leadership qualities, but as a new Cardinal, he deferred to Arenado and Goldschmidt, which is completely understandable. But Contreras, I think, is itching to lead this team. And to me, given the grace he has shown after they threw, you know, the pitchers and Marmol threw him under the bus, like, 5 weeks or 6 weeks into his first season with the Cardinals, and as hard as he plays, as hard as he competes, what he's been through. And oh, by the way, he also does have a World Series ring, because, you know, Contreras, people think that was David Ross's team, and it was to an extent, of course. But Contreras played a lot in that 2016 postseason. In fact, he started game 7 of the World Series, which, of course, the Cubs won by defeating Cleveland. So he's got a ring. I haven't even thought about this, but any Cardinals players have a ring, as in World Series ring? Please correct me if I'm wrong. Off the top of my head, I would say no, and I should have thought about that a little more. But that's okay. Sometimes even I have to wing it a little bit. So Contreras definitely has the stature to lead, and he'll be one of the most important players for the Cardinals in 2025 by playing first base and not the wear and tear catching, which causing, you know, injuries and to miss more games. He'll play a lot more, which means a lot more offense from Contreras and for the Cardinals. So Contreras is one. And then we're talking about, and I've mentioned this before, Brendan Donovan has expressed a desire to take a more prominent role in that clubhouse. He wants to make a difference off the field, as well as he, to me, has always made, for the most part, always made a really good difference, positive way, on the field. Listen, I think Donovan is a really smart guy. I think he's a tough guy. He's resilient. He's ultra competitive. He doesn't back down. He's a good communicator. He's highly respected by his teammates. And keep in mind something, and that's why sometimes I just like get irritated when others in the media, you know, talk about youth movement. We're going to play the kids. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Young. And they include Brendan Donovan on the list. I don't understand that. I really don't. And I also don't understand why they're pegging him specifically at one position. No, a big part of his value is that he can capably play defense at five different positions. And if you need him in a pinch, he could also play shortstop in an emergency. You don't lock him in at one position. My goodness. Think about this a little bit, my friends. That's directed at the media, not y'all. Anyway, Donovan is not a kid, though. He'll turn 28 next month. I'm not saying he's an old guy, but he's not a kid, okay? He's played in 374 major league games. That's not like a massive amount, but that's pretty good experience. In this day and age where players are brought to the major leagues quickly, right? A lot of them make their mark that early, that soon, with under 500 games. It's almost expected that you do that now. Donovan's got just under 1,500 major league plate appearances. He's been a Cardinal continuously since coming to the majors late in April 2022. He's been an above average hitter. His career OPS plus is about 12-13% above average. He's starting to hit for more power. He's got really good on-base skill. He can fight off pitchers and wear them out by taking long at bats, and he'll draw walks. It depends on what his role is. I for one was I prefer Donovan to bat leadoff because of what I just said. You know, he works counts. He makes pitchers throw a lot of pitches. He will, if they don't want to come in with a strike that he can hit, he'll take walks and he'll drive up his on base percentage. But when he's hitting a little lower in the lineup, you know, there are times where it's like, okay, now you got to be, pardon the cliche, you got to be an RBI man. Hey, drive the ball if you can. Don't be quite as picky at the plate. So anyway, that's just a little side trip I just made there. So I apologize. You know, so he's an above average major league hitter. He has experience relative to the way baseball is now. And he has worked really hard to be solid and it, in some spots good defensively at five positions, which, you know, the fact that he's already won a gold glove and he was cited for his versatility defensively. And that versatility defensively only enhances his value to the Cardinals. The point is, Donovan commands a lot of respect because he's done some things in this game, and they see how he's a team first guy that's willing to do anything on the field to help them win a game, including play any position they ask him to play, and making sure to work enough, hard enough to take pride that the defense will be good at that position, all those positions. All right, so in theory, younger players should thrive or at least improve in 2025. They're going to have a leader that is closer to their age. You know, they're going to have a manager who is has developed a really good bond with his young players on the team. You know, they're sort of the X factor things are favorable as far as like the non-performance stuff, talking about the vibe in the clubhouse, the leadership, the dynamic. It's kind of a fresh start for the Cardinals in that area. But if dudes like Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, because I said, hey, you know, if guys start to thrive, blah, blah, blah. But if guys like Walker and Gorman continue to struggle and underperform and really just, you know, plummet even more, if they just continue to disappoint, because I think we got to see something from them in 2025, something good. But if that doesn't happen, listen, that's going to raise questions about Marmol's ability to maximize the existing talent that he has. And maybe we all, including the Cardinals, overrated Walker and Gorman. I don't know. But the point is, a manager, one of the things you look for is that he can make his players better when it is possible to do so. So that might not be entirely fair because, again, I don't know who's to blame. Like, I'm sure as heck not going to blame Marmol for the fact that, you know, Nolan Gorman still doesn't have any strike zone judgment, right? And the Walker debacle started with the Cardinals management not preparing him properly for the major leagues. But by now, yeah, it's time to see some results. And whether we like it or not, whether it's fair or unfair, the performance of the two most important young players on this team, that would be Walker and Gorman, no matter what they do, whether it's good or bad or average, whatever, it's going to be tied to Marmol's effectiveness as a manager. That's just the way it works in this game. However, if both of them do really, really well, do I think Marmol will get a tip of the cap from the people that like wanted him fired, you know, 2 years ago or whatever? No, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. That's right. Hey, carry on. It's all good. If this so-called youth movement goes poorly and too many players fail to progress, there's no guarantee of Marmol lasting into 2026. One key will be the success of new hitting coach Brant Brown, who brings a more enlightened approach to the job. I'm really impressed by his early work. You know, he really wants to make a difference by showing Gorman and Walker different things they have to work on, including, most of all, the mental approach to hitting. And then he'll get into some mechanics. But he's already working with those guys. Well, he's worked with Gorman already. And I know he plans to go to Jupiter, Florida, if he hasn't done it already, to work with Jordan Walker. And this can only help them, right? It won't hurt them. It will only help them. And Brown, you know, don't forget, 5 years in the Dodgers organization working as a hitting instructor or coach in various capacities. The Dodgers don't hire bad coaches, all right? They don't hire bad anything. That's the smartest baseball operation in the majors. And if he was good enough to be there 5 years, that tells me all I need to know about how he's seen in the game, right? Well, they fired him in Seattle. Have you looked at Seattle's offense? Have you looked at the ballpark? Have you? I'm sorry. When's the last time Seattle won anything major? Oh, what? Oh, that's right. Way back when Ken Griffey Jr., you know, they knocked off the Yankees in the playoffs way back when Griffey was still there. And keep in mind, too, it's not only the Dodgers who you can look at Brant Brown and say, hey, you know, he's got some instant credibility with me. I don't give a damn whether the Mariners fired him. Guys get fired all the time, whether they deserve it or not. I always judge, well, tell me the quality and the intelligence level and the track record of the organization that is doing the firing. Because you cannot separate. It's impossible to lump all these guys together, anyone who gets fired. The team has a lot to do with it. Anyway, and don't forget, Brown was hired because Skip Schumacher recommended him strongly to Marmol, and Marmol was excited with Skip's recommendation, and Marmol got to know Brown, and they talked philosophy. They talked about a lot of things, and Marmol's really excited about having Brant Brown as the hitting coach. So we'll see what happens, but, you know, Brown improved the Miami Marlins offense the year that Schumacher won Manager of the Year. For leading the Marlins to the playoffs. And the overall numbers for the Marlins, because I know somebody will go to like Baseball Reference, well, wait a minute, they finished like 12th in runs or something, whatever, in the American League, in the National League, pardon me. No, when I say that offense improved, I looked at that offense the year before. And the improvement came in Brown's first year as the hitting coach, the only year as the hitting coach, okay? Numbers went up across the board. He was doing some good work. There are other factors in play. The front office is inclined to hold on to closer Ryan Helsley and starting pitcher Eric Fetty. Both players can become free agents, as we know and we've talked about, after the 25 season. And the Cardinals would do well to trade them and add more young talent to the nest, which would set them up for a more promising future. I strongly believe that, and you've heard me harp about that a few times. In particular, the starting pitching market has gone absolutely insane. Major league teams this year already in free agency have spent, and I wrote this down and can't find it, but they've spent, $800 million or so in free agent contracts for starting pitchers. And we're talking about fewer than 20 contracts. And you look at what the Red Sox had to give up. They gave up four of their top 14 prospects to get Garrett Crochet, that left-hander with the 35% strikeout rate. I mean, if you want starting pitching, you're going to pay. You're going to pay financially. You're going to pay big, big prices. And if you want to trade for a guy, well, there's such a shortage of pitching. You're going to have to give up some of the goods to get a legitimately good, solid starter. Okay. And Fetty, despite what people say, is that. You know, I talked about where he was in Fangraphs with all the ratings and everything. He's even better at Baseball Reference, which had him sixth best starting pitcher. Their wins above replacement formula had Fetty as the sixth best starting pitcher in the game last year. Okay. He's got credibility, and there would be a market for him, especially with all these teams so hungry for starting pitching. So if in that context, flipping Fetty makes a lot of sense, tremendous amount of sense. But look at it this way, since we're talking about Marmol. If the Cardinals keep both pitchers, that will give Marmol and the team a better chance to win more games in 2025. It would give the Cardinals and their manager a chance to exceed expectations. And if you exceed expectations and you do it in a really noticeable way, then why would the Cardinals sack the manager when he will have 1 year to go in his contract? That really does. If you put your personal feelings about Marmol aside, it wouldn't make sense to kick him to the curb in a transition year where fans and media are expecting the Cardinals to take a drop. But what if they go up in terms of wins and they do better than most of us thought? So under that, in that scenario, does that justify firing a manager? What would that be based on? I don't know. I mean, we're going to find out a lot. I'm just raising some questions here. Well, that's right. I said something remotely positive about Marmol. Okay. Sorry. I got it. I'm getting red in the cheeks from slapping myself. Have I lost my mind? Yeah, pretty much. Listen, this is the other thing I want to tell you, and you need to know this. Chaim Bloom, of course, going to be taking over as president of baseball operations at the conclusion of the 2025 season. It would be a mistake to assume that he's itching to make a manager change. We don't know. Nobody knows. He may have a list, a ready list. I'm sure he's been thinking about every aspect of taking over this new job, replacing John Mozeliak. So I'm sure somewhere he's probably got a list of people that he would like to talk to if he wants to hire a manager, if he wants to hire a new manager, right? So I'm not going to assume that he's itching to go get his own guy and say bye-bye to Ollie, unless maybe Ollie wants to get out of managing and they can put him on the player development side. I don't know. John Mozeliak said at one point they thought that's where Ollie Marmol's future in the organization was going to be, player development. Okay. I just wanted to put that out there again to remind everyone. But here's something that I'm told, and I 100% trust the information because I confirmed it. Bloom and all of these impressive people that he's already brought into the organization have been very open and approachable and communicative with Marmol and the coaches. The manager and the coaching staff, they're being kept in the loop in every way. And so a good relationship is forming amongst them. And it may not be what you want to hear, but it's true. And I'm just giving you the information that I have learned about. So listen, we can talk about managers, new managers, all we want to, Pujols and Molina included. And Molina, remember, in Puerto Rico, managing the national team in the World Baseball Classic, did a heck of a job, just a heck of a job. And just because Pujols' team in the DR is struggling, it doesn't prove anything about his value as a manager once he gets experience and is more ready for the job. My gosh, he retired as a player after the 2022 season. It wasn't that long ago. And so he took this job to get some experience. But here's the reality. We have to wait and see what happens with the Cardinals in 2025 because there's a lot of things in play. There's a lot of variables, as you know. But I always have to remind myself of that. So I'm reminding you of that as well. We have to wait and see. We can speculate about Ali Marmol's future one way or the other. But I do know this, he'll have a chance. I believe he'll get a fair chance to keep his job, which would bring him back in 2026. You may not like that, but I really believe he'll get a fair opportunity to stay in the job through the end of his contract, at least. But if things go bad, if things go really bad, then hey, game is on. Then anything's possible, right? Anyway, that's all I got to say right now. Thank you for watching. Thanks for putting up with my monkey business, me slapping myself. I'm just trying to have fun. I didn't get much sleep last night. So part of that is I'm just like waking myself up, okay? But I appreciate you all. Thank you very much. Leave your comments. And thanks for watching The Bernie Show here on the YouTube channel.